Most of us have our cherished family traditions for Christmas. And, depending on our ancestry, they're all a little different. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Did you know that the Santa Claus we know so well has gift-giving cousins back in the old country we don't even know? In the hour ahead, we'll meet Sammy Claus and Smoochly, Babbo Natale, and La Befana. No matter how you say it,
Feliz Natal.
Schöne Weihnachten.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Felice Natale. Taigo Klan. Dangani Kush Kodekiri.
Our holidays are shaped by a fun-loving assortment of cultural differences. On today's Travel with Rick Steves, we're checking in with friends across Europe to hear how they're celebrating the holidays. Come along as we take a peek at a variety of Christmas celebrations from the far west of Ireland to the scalps of the Alps, from Italy's rustic Riviera to remote Tyrolean villages, and all the way to Grandma's place in Portugal. Join us as we celebrate Christmas European style on Travel with Rick Steves. Merry Christmas. I'm Rick Steves, warming up for a whirlwind hour ahead as we explore some of Europe's colorful Christmas traditions. We're visiting Switzerland, Ireland, Austria, Portugal, and Italy for the holidays. But first, let's start with your questions and ideas about holiday travel. Call us at 877-333-RICK or radio@ricksteves.com. We have Michael on the line in Rochester, Michigan.
That's right, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. Rochester is just outside of, where's Rochester?
It's about 35 miles north of Detroit.
Okay. Great. Now, what are you thinking about as far as travel?
Well, I was in Spain a couple years ago during the holidays, and they celebrated, their big holiday was the 6th of January.
Right.
And I was a little confused at that. I mean, of course, they had celebrations for Christmas, Christmas Eve, and New Year's, but then the 6th came around, and everybody was celebrating again and out to watch a parade in the evening. It was a lot of fun, and I didn't really know what it was about.
But it didn't stop you from enjoying the scene.
Absolutely not.
Isn't that funny? Now, in Europe, they've got an extended holiday calendar. It starts in late November, and it goes all the way until the 6th of January, and it is not just some gimmicky way to extend the shopping season. This is a whole string of religious holidays, and different countries celebrate them with a different amount of vigor. But the way I wouldn't have known this, except that I just did a lot of work for my Christmas special that's airing all over the country on PBS right now, that is Epiphany. And Epiphany is 12 days after Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas, you've heard of that. And that is the day the three kings finally gave their gifts.
Okay.
And I don't understand all the theology behind it, but I do know that all over Europe, especially in Italy and in the Mediterranean parts of Europe, Epiphany is a big deal. Now, you go to Rome, for instance, that's my experience after Christmas, and for 2 weeks after Christmas, you've still got all the Christmas kind of stuff filling the Piazza Navona. And then on it all culminates on Epiphany on January 6th.
Okay, makes sense, because in the parade there was a lot of references to the three wise men.
There you go. Well, that's the day they finally gave their gifts to baby Jesus.
So traveling can be an experience in your own religious beliefs as well.
It can be, and we can have our own strongly held religious beliefs and travel to another culture and find out how different cultural influences and indigenous religious beliefs that were there before Christianity or whatever are woven into those traditions. And it just gives you this wonderful variety and richness that we found all over Europe. And that was one thing I enjoyed about that latest adventure of ours in travel, was seeing how rich and varied the traditions are after 2,000 years of different cultures splicing in their own influences. You know, there's a lot of pagan stuff going on up in the north, especially as it's a return of the sun. The winter is going to be peaking, and there's a promise of a spring, and a lot of focus on the lights. You mentioned January 6th is a big day. Also, I think it's December 13th is a big day in Scandinavia. That's Santa Lucia Day, and all the girls are wearing their wreaths with real candles in their hair, and they're singing Santa Lucia.
Wow.
So everywhere you go in Europe, what I learned is there's fun things to learn about Christmas.
Yeah, and it was just fascinating to see the differences, such as, you know, Santa Claus going up a ladder to a balcony window in Spain because they don't have chimneys.
Yeah, and there's different Santa Claus. We had fun making a family tree sort of Santa Claus, because you got all these different variations on Santa Claus and different Christmas witches and different Christmas saints and things that accommodate things like, we don't have chimneys, how can he come down the chimney? The Santa Claus we know was, I think, a Coca-Cola ad from the 1930s. I believe they took St. Nicholas from Germany, that idea, and they fiddled around with it, and they made it part of an ad campaign back in the 30s. And that's it came from Europe, but it was spiffed up by some marketing there in the States.
Right. Wow, that's interesting, too.
All right. Well, thanks for your call.
You're welcome, Rick, and good luck with the radio program.
Oh, it's fun to be on the radio, and it's fun to be on public radio. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
We have Carla on the phone from Champaign, Illinois. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Rick.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for your call.
Thanks. I was wondering, my family is going to Florence and Tuscany between Christmas and New Year's, and we wondered if you had any recommendations or advice on that.
Well, you know, there's two ways to look at it when you're going to this part of Europe, Italy and Tuscany, Florence. You're going to want to go there to experience Florence and Tuscany, and you're going to go there and want to experience the wonders and the fun of Christmas. I think from a sightseeing point of view, it's things are basically going to be open as usual, except for Christmas Day. Expect it to be bitter cold in the middle of the winter, because it certainly can be in Italy. I think you'll want to remember in Italy there's a lot of traditions in the villages, a lot of living manger scenes, a lot of caroling, a lot of tossing of the fruitcakes. This is a fun thing they do in the villages, where the guys get together and they have their panforte fruitcakes, and they'll line up and they'll throw them onto the picnic table and try to make it slide and not quite go over the edge. Just a lot of fun little community get-togethers. In some towns, we filmed shepherds that for centuries have built bonfires. They've come down from the hills, built bonfires, and sang carols to help the time pass until Christmas Eve arrives.
Is it going to be too cold, or will the weather be bad in the Apulani Alps?
I really don't know, because the weather in Italy has been, I've been in Italy when the fountains have been frozen, and it's been bitter cold, and I just flat out could not enjoy myself. I couldn't even get warm in the hotels, and I've been in Italy when it was very mild, and the next trip in the winter, and I packed all this ski gear, and I never had to use it. So it's really hard to say what the weather's going to be like. I would just say you've got to plan for cold weather and layer it, and
okay.
Just be ready for that in the winter.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Good luck in your travels.
Thank you.
And we have an email from Jan in Arcadia, and she finds it easy to be prepared for travel to cold, windy, wet weather by investing in a good Gore-Tex or similar fabric hooded jacket, roomy with thin gloves and a hat in the pocket for temperatures. That'll take her down pretty low, and add a fluffy, light sweater, and you can be comfortable as cold as 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, Jan's done a lot of traveling, and it sounds like that's good advice. I would remind you, when you're traveling in the off-season, as I do every winter, you're not just going to be assessing the weather like you would at home, because at home you're going from the car to the shop or from your house to the car or whatever. When you travel, you want to be out for hours at a stretch, and that means you're going to be wanting to dress almost like you're skiing. I found heavy, warm shoes is a major advantage, and you want to be out for a couple of hours. Do you hire a local walking guide, or you take a walking tour? You know, the life goes on from a sightseeing point of view all over the world in the cold months, and these guides are dressed to keep you outdoors. Just like they would in the summer. And if you're not prepared, you're not going to be able to enjoy the lecture or the experience. You're just going to be shivering and wonder how much longer do we have to be out here. So you want to have it layered, and you want to dress assuming you're going to be out long stretches. You want a good hat, mittens, and I find long underwear, but most importantly, heavy, warm shoes. Now let's go to Switzerland, high in the Swiss Alps. We're visiting my friend Olli Eggemann, who's the school teacher in a little village, a traffic-free village, halfway up the Schilthorn called Gimmelwald. Olli, thanks for joining us.
Yes, fun to speak to you, Rick.
Tell me about Christmas. What's distinct about Christmas in a little village high in the Swiss Alps?
The first thing, obviously, that makes Christmas a great thing is the snow is usually approaching. We get snow around Christmas time a little bit earlier. Days are shortened. Everybody's looking forward to family festivities. In early December, we get the first feeling from Sammy Claus, from our Santa Claus.
Describe Sammy Claus. He's like the Santa Claus, but he's different. What does he do?
This Sammy Claus is a very important person, and he is visiting all the children the 6th of December. And the Sammy Claus is dressed up in red, and he has a helper. His helper is Schmutzli, and he comes, is dressed up in black clothes. Both usually have a long beard. They have a donkey or a little horse, and on the back of the animal you have usually a huge bag full of peanuts, tangerines, sometimes even some chocolate. And this Sammy Claus goes to visit the different children in the village.
They must be frightened when they see him.
Well, you know, he's quite a man, and usually he has a huge book in one hand, and Schmutzli comes with a kind of a broom. The Sammy Claus, you know, he is a holy person, and obviously birds can speak to him, and sometimes birds tell him about these children if they have committed some stupid things, and obviously he will give them a little lesson, and he has all written down. And quite often when he visits the children, he might give them a little lecture, what they should maybe do better, and he will look up in his huge book, and to make look this book really old, quite often you just put some flour in it. When you open it, it's all dusty. And then usually children either sing a song for the Sammy Claus, or they tell a poem. And if they do so afterwards, they get something from the Sammy Claus. They can usually open the bag and get out some tangerines or nuts.
So it's just another way for parents to terrorize their children into being nice and not naughty.
Yes, you can say that. And, you know, funny enough, even when you're an adult, if you go to a home of retired people and somebody comes dressed up as a Sammy Claus, I will tell you one thing, everybody gets somehow excited and to a certain strange way feels back in the time when he was a child, and everybody has a lot of fun with it. And you know, the time when a child is really scared of a Sammy Claus is usually a very short one, let's say between 3 and 5. And quite often when 6 or 7, they all of a sudden can understand that it's somebody they probably know. And then it obviously gets even more fun than before, because they halfway take him serious, halfway they believe it's somebody else.
So you mentioned December 6th. I don't understand. Sammy Claus comes on December 6th or on the 25th?
No, he comes the 6th of December.
Oh, he does. So he's
different.
He comes
on the 6th, not on the 20th, 25th, or 24th.
Now, why on the 6th? What's that special day?
In the church, all the saints have their particular day. And the day of the Sammy Claus is the 6th of December.
Is that Saint Nicholas?
Yeah.
Ah, so Saint Nicholas
is the day he
day.
Is coming.
Now, Ollie, in Switzerland, how do you say Merry Christmas?
Schöne Weihnachten.
Schöne Weihnachten.
Schöne Weihnachten.
A beautiful Christmas night, is that what that means?
Well, yes.
Literally?
More or less, yes.
Yeah, great. Well, schöne Weihnachten to you and your family. Thanks for joining us this Christmas, Ollie.
Thank you very much. Schöne Weihnachten for you too, Rick.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
More European Christmas traditions just ahead on Travel with Rick Steves.
I'm Rick Steves, and this is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with a friend of mine, Tim Cullins, who's the retired police chief in a town on the west coast of Ireland, my favorite part of Ireland, as a matter of fact. It's Dingle Peninsula. Tim Cullins, thanks for joining us.
Not at all. You're quite welcome. You wish, I think, to speak maybe on the Christmas festivities in Dingle?
Well, Tim, yeah. First of all, you're way over on the west coast of Ireland, aren't you?
Yes, I'm in the southwest of Ireland, Dingle, County Kerry, which I suppose is often described as the next parish to America. Boston is about 3,000 miles due west of us.
The next parish over is Boston. That's a beautiful concept.
Or Newfoundland, to be more precise, maybe.
Hey, Tim, we're celebrating Christmas all over the Christian world anyways. Tell me, what's Christmas like in the west of Ireland?
Christmas is a very big occasion in Ireland generally, but moreover in the west of Ireland. It's very much and has been a family occasion. People in olden times, of course, used to return maybe from England when we had a lot of immigration. They'd come from America, they'd make off home to be at home for Christmas. But nowadays we do not have that much immigration thanks to the Celtic Tiger.
The big economy. Yeah, now you got big families anyways, and then traditionally all the families would get together, so that's quite a party there in the villages, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And they prepare maybe a week ahead of the big day. The housewives would be preparing food. They'd be making plum puddings, Christmas cakes. They'd be getting in some turkey, some ham, a bottle or two of whiskey.
So the big feast is the big feast on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
Christmas Day is the big one.
Okay.
And on that day, they would prepare dinner and they'd all sit around and they would stay inside that day, maybe say having a bit of a party, playing cards and so forth. No one dare go out on Christmas Day. The streets are actually, it's the one day the streets are deserted in Dingle, is on Christmas Day.
Everybody's at home with the family eating.
Yes, eating and a little drop of whiskey maybe, drop of Guinness, maybe some wine now is creeping in. Wine is getting pretty popular in recent years. And the ladies would have maybe a drop of port or a drop of sherry.
Oh, so the port and the sherry is the ladies' drink.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Okay.
And they'd also have Christmas crackers where they would pull these across the table, you know, where there would be Christmas fare and hats and jokes and these out of these Christmas
so the kids
crackers,
could,
as they're called.
Firecrackers, small firecrackers.
That type of thing, yes.
Yeah,
yes. So
okay.
It's very much a fun thing, and the meal could run maybe for 2 or 3 hours. No one's in a great hurry. Everyone is relaxed. And then they would maybe retire and watch some television. Maybe there's some good television shows on for Christmas.
Tim, what happens on Christmas Eve? Is there a big feast on Christmas Eve also?
Christmas Eve is more or less is leading up to the big one. Normally in Ireland, they used to eat fish on that particular day. They had a fish called ling, L-I-N-G. It was a type of a cod, salted, very strong, strongly salted fish. And they would cook that with some potatoes and some sauce. And that was more or less a lead-in to Christmas.
I gotcha.
There'd be holly and ivy put up on all the windows. Lights would be put up. Christmas tree would be put up. They'll also put up the crib, honoring the birth of Christ on the Christmas Day. That would be put up by the children, would gather around. They'd make their own cribs with the figures, and that would be put up in the central part of the house and lit up.
Okay, so the kids build a Christmas crib, a manger scene.
A manger scene, exactly, yes.
How many days do the kids get off for Christmas?
They're off generally about 10 days.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Also, tell me about the local Santa Claus. Do you have Santa Claus just like we have, or who brings the gifts for the children?
Yes, Santa Claus is a big deal here. As a matter of fact, I'll let you in a little secret. I am acting as Santa Claus in the local hotel here over the Christmas.
Say it ain't so.
So I'll be wearing a different hat.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
Santa Claus brings the gifts at Christmas, and the idea is that all go to bed early and leave some gifts for Santa Claus in the hearth.
In the hearth. So Santa Claus does come down the fire, the chimney,
down
just
the
like.
Chimney, and they would maybe leave out a little glass of Guinness there for him.
A glass of
and
Guinness.
And they might leave out a few carrots and a turnip for the reindeers.
So we give milk and cookies, but Santa gets Guinness in Ireland.
Guinness in Ireland for strength, you see.
That's right. Guinness makes you strong.
Yes. And then the reindeers would get maybe a turnip or a carrot.
Oh, not quite so interesting.
And then the following morning, when the kids would come down, the first thing they'd look for is the carrot. And no doubt there'd be marks on the carrot indicating where the reindeer would have nibbled.
Okay. The Guinness
and
would
the Guinness
be long
was gone, of course, disappeared.
All
proof
right.
Positive that he had come and gone.
Now, is there the sort of naughty and nice sort of thing? Do the children put out stockings and they'll get rocks in them or something if they're bad?
Yes. They've got a bit more sophisticated now in recent years. In the olden times, the old stocking was hung out at the end of the bed. And that would be stuffed with mostly cookies and apples and pears and maybe a little simple tie or a book, you know.
Right.
But nowadays things are gone a bit more upmarket and more expensive ties are being bought.
Well, Ireland is quite a booming economy, so I understand you've just surpassed England in per capita income, so the kids have higher expectations for their stockings.
That's the big problem, and they're harder to please, of course.
Right.
And often they get more enjoyment out of the old box that the tie came in, actually. They'd get a rope or a twine and pull that around the room and forget about the expensive tie.
Speaking of boxes, now you have, in England or in Britain, you have Boxing Days. What does that mean? We don't have that.
Yes, yeah, Boxing Day in Britain. In Ireland, it's known as St. Stephen's Day. In Dingle, it's known as the Ran's Day. The Ran is a bird, a small little bird. And in olden times, they used to go out and capture a bird and put him into a cage. And they would parade around the town. All would dress up in fancy dress with masks, young and old, and they would go around the town collecting money. They'd visit all the public houses, all 52.
Okay, all the public houses, meaning all the bars, the taverns.
All the bars would be visited, and they would collect, and they would sing. They'd have a fife and drum band. There was four big Ran's groups in Dingle, and they would parade the town, and there'd be great competition between the different groups to who would have the best makeup and the best masks and things. They'd have masks there, maybe of people like the President of Ireland, or the President of America, for that matter, or the Pope, or anyone like that. They'd have these big plastic fancy masks. And you even might get the parish priest dressed up, or the local guard, for that matter, and no one knows who he is.
So this sounds like a wild day. It's the day after Christmas.
It's a great occasion as well, because a lot of the kids dress up, and they go out with their parents, and for some of them, it's their first encounter with liquor, where they might sneak a little glass of Guinness in a bar.
All right.
Under the cover of the mask. And for some of them, it might be, for the boys and the girl, it might be their first romantic encounter as well. So the whole thing is really a rite of passage as well. By the way, the money that's collected for the Ran's during their collections around the town, in olden times, they would collect this money and they would put it together. They might only collect £10, of course, 40, 50 years ago, and they would have a party later on in the new year, buy a bottle of porter and have a dance. And that type of thing. But nowadays they're collecting for charities.
I see.
And last year, actually, one of the local Ren groups here, the Green and Gold, actually subscribed over €2,000 for the victims of the tsunami out in the east.
Oh, that's great.
So it is
Ren's Day. Okay.
Ren's Day. It's a small little bird.
December 26th.
It's an ancient, a very ancient custom indeed that goes back into time immemorial. The tradition is being carried on in the places in the west of Ireland, but it's very strong in Dingle. It is the day the town really lets its hair down.
Wow. Sounds fascinating. Hey, Tim, what are you thankful for in the west of Ireland this Christmas, and what are your wishes for the new year?
Well, my wishes for this year is that we will not have as many disasters as we seem to have in 05 between what happened in Asia and America. There's been some terrible disasters. I hope we will have trouble-free 06 and that we will drift a little closer to peace.
That would be a beautiful gift.
Over.
Beautiful gift,
yes.
For all of us, yeah. And in Ireland, you live in a Gaeltacht where people actually speak Gaelic. Tell us.
Yes, in Ireland, in Dingle, we are in an Irish-speaking region. Irish is the spoken language or the mother tongue of the majority of the people.
Tim, we've got to get on our sleigh and head on to the next country, but I would love to hear you give us a little Christmas wish in Gaelic. Do you speak enough Gaelic to share that with our travelers in the States here?
Yes, I certainly will. Guim Rade Gachdene Tai Gestucht, Agasta Sulagum, Gamechan, Fudden Down, since Nablinta Taroin, Gomor Moor, Emile Zero Ashe. Lord is Benacht, Taigo Clan, Dangani Kush, Kunde Kiri.
Don't ask me to repeat that, but tell me what you said in English.
I just introduced myself. My name is Tim Collins, and I hope that there will be peace in the world in the years to come, moreover in 06.
Oh,
and then I said more or less, goodbye, Tim Collins, Dingle County, Kerry.
Tim Collins from the west coast of Ireland, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you and all your family.
And the same to you and yours. Slán, bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheerio.
Now we travel to the Tyrol. That is the traditional western part of Austria, and we're talking with a friend of mine named Gabby Koch, who is in a town called Reutte. Gabby, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. Hello.
Hello. We have a lot of romantic images of the Tyrol, or the, I guess you say Tyrol in German.
Tyrol.
And I wonder, can you just describe to people what a small town Christmas would be like in your part of Europe?
Now, Christmas is a very traditional fest here. As you know, we are Roman Catholic, so it starts already with the Advent tide. So we get prepared and be prepared for the birth of Jesus. A lot of handcrafts are done then, Christmas decoration. We do a lot of music with traditional instruments like guitar, zither, harp, hackbread, flute is celebrated in the families.
You know, for the United States, for a lot of people, it's like how many shopping days left till Christmas. But I think in the Tyrol, there's a lot of sacred days around the Christmas season. You have St. Nicholas Day.
We have St. Nicholas Day, which is not Santa Claus like I think you celebrate in your country. St. Nicholas, or Nicholas, how we call him short, is named after a bishop who helped hungry people, and he especially helped kids. So it's very custom to Nicholas to bring children fruits, nuts, and sweet things. As well, it's a good occasion for the parents to remind their kids through Nicholas to behave themselves, like to do proper homework or to go bed earlier. And in this worst case, there is as well a Krampus. It's like a black man with the Nicholas, and this is very much tradition.
So black man, you don't mean an African, you mean
person. No, we say Krampus because he looks very ugly and very scaring. So better people do what the St. Nicholas is telling them.
Okay, so the children are all excited about the St. Nicholas or Krampus. What happens if they're not good children?
Then the Nicholas will come with the Krampus and he gives them a little, how do you call it, stretch by a clack on the popo.
I'm talking with Gabby Koch from Reutte in the Tyrol, in the west of Austria. Gabby, you said the people are, during the Advent season as Christmas approaches, they prepare with handicrafts and decorating. How are the houses decorated in your town?
Mainly with nature things like trees, nuts, apples. So not very artificial things.
Now, in the United States, we decorate our tree several weeks, usually before Christmas. When do you get your tree and when do you decorate it and how does that involve the children?
In very few houses, we have artificial trees. Usually we have natural trees and sometimes we pick them very, very short time ahead. So even on the Christmas day, we go to the forest and pick them.
Now, for small children, isn't there a tradition where they don't see the tree until actually Christmas Eve? How does that work?
Exactly. So usually Weihnachten, the shops close at lunchtime. Some are open till 5 p.m. But then they will close until the 27th of December. So no more shopping then.
Okay.
The papas, they need to keep the smaller children busy. Like they go out, they do skiing or skating or snowman or playing games, whatever. And then the mama prepares the tree and the presents. And the living room is closed. And they will come at about 5 to 6 o'clock p.m. The Christmas bell rings and everybody may enter then the living room. Of course, this is done with the smaller kids. When they're a little bit older, they join decorating the Christmas tree.
Okay, now who actually, in the children's mind, who brings the presents?
Christkind.
Christkind.
Yeah,
so that
Christkind.
Is the Christ child, literally, brings
exactly.
The presents.
Christkind is the birth of God, it's Jesus. And so we never have had any Weihnachtsmann. This is not something from our religion.
So Weihnachtsmann, what would that be?
Weihnachtsmann is actually a newer expression. I think
our equivalent would be Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, yes, okay. But I think it's mainly used for business reasons.
So even the little children, they think of that Jesus is bringing the presents to them and putting them under the tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do they leave something out for baby Jesus?
No.
No. Okay, because we leave cookies and milk out for Santa Claus.
No.
Okay. Now, describe for me, Gabby, in the Tyrol, in Western Austria, the how you deal with the big family meal and when you go to Mass and how the Mass and the family all comes together.
Now, usually the meal on the 24th is quite simple because there are a lot of preparations and to make it really up to the event, to the birth of Jesus. The meal is quite simple, like a sausage and a potato salad or a fish, but not very fancy. And the service where we go to is at midnight. We call it the Christmette. And it will start at 11:30 with already Christmas songs in the church. And then the main service, which is very familiar but as well festive, will be starting at midnight. Afterwards, everybody wishes Frohe Weihnachten. And in front of the church, which is a very nice custom, especially when it's snowing, so it's like in a fairy tale.
So after the Mass, everybody is socializing in front of the church, wishing
yes.
each other Merry Christmas, Frohe Weihnachten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we go to the illuminated cemetery, sometimes before the church service starts, but as well very often afterwards. And the cemetery is as well full with lights.
What kind of lights and why?
Oh, this is to give the wishes and the Merry Frohe Weihnachten to the dead people as well.
So there's candles in your graveyards?
Candles, yes, a lot of candles.
Huh.
After the Christmas bell rang, you go to the living room, then you have some Christmas songs or some Christmas Gedichte. Then you have the Evangelium. This is the history of the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So you read the Gospel.
You read the Evangelium. Afterwards, you have, again, some Christmas songs. Then you give the Christmas wishings. And then, a very exciting point, you can open the presents.
Wow. And do you have, then, a big Christmas feast on Christmas Day?
On the 25th. Sometimes you start with a very long breakfast because you come back quite late from the church.
Uh-huh.
And then you have a late breakfast, probably like a brunch. Then you go to the sons and daughters, or they come to the house, and then you have cake, and then probably have an early evening meal or a later evening meal. But the whole day will be time to spend and to see the family and enjoy each other.
Yeah. Gabby, can you, on this Christmas Eve, share with us in the United States what your wishes are for the new year?
I wish first peace for everybody. Frohe Weihnachten, and then, of course, everybody wants to be healthy, join family, and be happy, and, of course, have all the blessings of God.
That's beautiful. And once again, in your language, how do you say Merry Christmas?
Frohe Weihnachten.
Frohe Weihnachten. Gabby
Frohe Weihnachten.
Koch, thank you very much, Gabby, and Merry
thank
Christmas.
You. Frohe Weihnachten from Austria. Rick, to you and to everybody.
Next, our Christmas sleigh takes us to Portugal and Italy as we delve deeper into the many ways Europeans celebrate the holidays. Merry Christmas from Travel with Rick Steves. pass the salted cod, and how about a little of that Christmas fruitcake? We're enjoying happy holidays with our European friends on Travel with Rick Steves. We're continuing our celebrations of Christmas all over Europe, and now we're going to Portugal. We have on the line Claudia da Costa in Lisbon. Claudia, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, too.
How is Christmas unique in Portugal, Claudia?
Well, depends on the region, but especially in the inland small towns, is something special. And especially, I think the most important thing to say is that it's for families.
So if somebody in the big city wants to have a traditional Christmas, you would find it better going to the small towns, huh?
You know that lots of people, they have a second house in the small town. So it's very easy for them to go there. Not only in Christmas, but, I don't know, in very important celebrations, they always go. Easter, I don't know, this the religious feasts, it's very important.
Do you have relatives in a small town?
Yes, I have. My grandmother.
Okay, pretend you're taking me to your grandmother's place for a traditional Christmas. Tell me, what happens on Christmas Eve and what happens on Christmas Day?
Well, 24 December, we are all day cooking because we are preparing meal, because we are about, I don't know, 13, 14 people, and we are preparing, sweets, and especially we're preparing the codfish, the salted codfish, because we eat codfish.
Salted cod, okay.
Mm-hmm. We ate octopus, but now we eat cod.
So you mean octopus was traditionally, but now you are preferring cod.
Yes, okay. we eat cod with vegetables and potatoes, and we eat very late, around 10 p.m., because then we go to the mass.
Okay.
And then after mass, we open the presents.
Okay, so we're going to have dinner at 10, then we go to the mass in the village church,
mm-hmm.
and after that we open presents.
Exactly. Because we should only open the presents, at midnight or late midnight.
Now, the village comes together at the mass then?
Yes. And especially sometimes we will see some friends that we haven't seen for 1 year, because they always come there only for Christmas.
Huh.
So it's very important.
So like it's a reunion at Christmas time.
Yes.
Town, do people hang out in the town, or what do they do after church?
Well, we go home, we open the presents, then we go out again. And we will in the important places such as, I don't know, the church or the mayor or the tribunal, we have some big fireplace. We will stay all around because it's very cold. It's near the mountain, so it's very cold. And we stay there hours talking about nothing. Sometimes we drink coffee because we will do coffee in the fire. We have a very old pan. We prepare our coffee. And then we stay there all night talking and drinking coffee.
So you have the old traditional way of putting the pan right in the fire to make your coffee.
Exactly.
Very romantic. So what time would you go to sleep then normally?
Sometimes we don't sleep, or we sleep only 2 or 3 hours. Because don't forget that we have to prepare for the next day. That's also very important.
So we're celebrating Christmas in Portugal here with Claudia da Costa's grandmother in a village in the north. It's cold. We've just been out until 3 in the morning at the fire with the bonfires, talking to everybody. Go home, sleep a couple hours. What happens on Christmas Day?
Well, on Christmas Day, it's very important always to say that we lay the table. Because usually we used to say that we put the table for our dead relatives. Because you can't have empty table. It's forbidden. You have to put. That's why you are cooking all day, 24 and 25, to prepare all this. Because you have to have food for 2 days. Because don't forget that you can invite some friends to go there to eat.
So explain to me about the dead people. How are you feeding dead people? What's going on?
Imagine I have this situation. Lots of my family died not a long time ago. And always we think about them in this important period. So usually we say that we put the table for them.
Okay, so you set the table, actually.
So they will come at night to eat something.
You put food out and plates and silverware and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's a way to remember.
Exactly.
You've been to Mass already the night before, so is it just family time and eating? Is that what happens
on
the 25th?
Yes, but usually we have three Masses on the 25th.
Three Masses?
The first one, yes, the first one that we have from midnight.
Right.
We call this Missa do Galo. Well, translation is Rooster Mass.
Okay, so that's the first Mass.
And then we have another second Mass, well, in the morning. And then you have the Mass of the day, because we have always one Mass per day.
Wow. Now, a lot of people don't go to church in Portugal every week. Are some people just going to, if they go to one Mass in the whole year, it would be probably Christmas, is that right?
Yes, 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 yes. I do this.
You do this. So you're a good Mass goer on Christmas.
Yes, I go, because, I don't know, my grandmother, she likes, and I think it's necessary to go.
Sure, and the family comes together.
Hey,
yes. Claudia, when you think back at your childhood, when you were a little girl, what's your favorite Christmas memory?
Well, it's very difficult to say, because usually I have my Christmas day in my grandmother's small town.
Uh-huh.
Because in Lisbon it's completely different. We try to have a Christmas in Lisbon, but it's not the same.
Right.
Because people, they are buying and buying. It's not the same. Well, the tradition is not the same. We forgot some things that are very important, especially the family.
So the big city is commercial then?
Yes, it's commercial. Unfortunately, it's commercial. But you still have the same Mass. You still have the same traditions. But it's very difficult to follow them because, well, it's commercial.
Sure. Now, with all that shopping, the children are getting some presents. Who brings the presents? How does that work? In America, of course, we have Santa Claus, and he comes in the night, and in the morning, the children find what he brought.
Exactly the same.
Exactly.
That's why they are very excited.
Yeah. So Santa Claus comes down the chimney in Portugal also.
Yes, exactly. Exactly the same. It's always a problem when we are in a flat and we have no chimney. Sometimes to explain them, well, why here we have no chimney, so where is coming Santa Claus?
What is
by the window?
Do the children give Santa Claus a treat when he comes?
Yes, we also do this.
What do you give him?
Well, depends. Usually we put, I don't know how to call it, a sock.
A sock?
We give a sock to Santa Claus to put the present inside.
Well, you leave a stocking out, yeah?
Uh-huh.
But do they give him cookies and milk or something?
Usually we give them cookies.
Cookies?
Very sweet cookies, yes.
All right.
Because he's fat, so he likes cookies.
I see. Very smart. Claudia, at this Christmas time, what are your wishes for the new year?
My wishes? Always the same. Three wishes.
What is that?
Health.
Yeah.
Money. And love.
I hope that you have all your wishes come true.
Thank you very much.
And tell me in Portuguese, how do you say Merry Christmas?
Feliz Natal.
Feliz Natal. Claudia da Costa from Lisbon. Thanks very much and Feliz Natal.
Thank you very much. Obrigada.
Now we're going to go to Italy and talk with Matteo Passini, who's a friend of mine. He runs a beautiful hotel in Monterosso in the Cinque Terre on the Italian Riviera. Matteo, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you all also.
Yeah, Matteo, now tell me in Italy, what is special about Christmas in Italy compared to other places in Europe or the United States?
In Italy, for example, under a gastronomical point of view, you have panettone, which is special of Italy, and spumante, which is our Italian champagne.
You're going right to the food and the drink, spumante and panettone. Tell us about
panettone. A panettone, it's a Christmas cake, which it's a traditional cake they had in Milano, but now it's all over Italy. And panettone is more or less is 1 kilogram, and it's full with fruits and like this. And then we have also pandoro, which is something similar, but with more butter, with more, it's more simple. But both are very good, and in every home you have panettone or pandoro for Christmas.
I'm talking with Matteo Passini, who's a friend of mine from the Italian Riviera. And Matteo, think back before all the tourists came and made your region more prosperous to a simpler time. What is a warm childhood memory that you have of Christmas in Italy?
During Christmas here in Cinque Terre, we were expecting the Christmas lunch as something very, very important, where you could eat something that you never eat during the other days of the year. For example, ravioli were the main meal, the main dish we had for Christmas, and that were very important because some family could only have ravioli for Christmas lunch and never before.
So poor families would only have ravioli on a special day?
Yes, only on Christmas, and then no more for the rest of the year. So it was very important.
Wow.
Or, for example, people were wearing particular dress during that day, and then because friends gave them like a good shirt or something like this, and then no more for the rest of the year. So it was something very particular. And for example, when I was a kid, we always were waiting Christmas Eve that midnight was coming when Jesus baby were bringing us some gifts. And so we were all waiting the Mass, and then after the Mass, we came back home very fast to see if gifts were there, and they were there. So we were all happy. But now, unfortunately, it's different. Now, maybe this is the power of globalization. We have something more like you have in the United States and all over Europe. We have also Babbo Natale, which is your Santa Claus, and nobody is speaking anymore, almost anymore, about baby Jesus. So every kid is waiting for Babbo Natale, and then Babbo Natale is no more related to the Mass, so many people is not going to the Mass anymore. Or also, even if the Christmas Eve Mass is very, very important in Italy, very important. People, maybe they go to the Mass that night, maybe once in a year, but they go because it's really very important, something everybody feel a lot.
Now, Babbo Natale, is that like Papa Christmas? Is that what that means literally?
Yes, the real translation is Christmas Daddy.
Christmas Daddy, yes. Does Babbo come down the chimney like Santa Claus does in my town?
Yes and no. Sometimes, mostly, he comes to the door, he knocks, and then gives you something. Also for children, they do this. Somebody will wear like Babbo Natale and go knocking to all doors and give presents.
Now you have another character, La Befana, right?
Yes, for the 6th of January, when the three kings. We have La Befana. Every child wait La Befana because if you have been good, she will bring you candies and a lot of sweet stuff. If you have been bad, she will bring you coke. La Befana comes down from the, like your Santa Claus, down from the roof and inside the where you have the fire in the...
Okay, the chimney. So La Befana. So this is the Christmas witch, kind of.
The Christmas witch, yes.
Yeah. And now, just to explain to people, so Epiphany is January 6th, and we know about the 12 days of Christmas, and that's really the finale of the 12 days of Christmas when the three wise men actually gave the famous gifts to baby Jesus, and that is celebrated throughout Italy then, and it's and that's when the Christmas witch comes. And what do they give the children if they've been naughty?
Coke.
Black stones, right.
Black stones, yes.
All right. Now, in Italy, the manger scenes are a big deal. You say presepe, right, in Italian?
Sì, presepe is very important.
St. Francis was the first, he invented presepe, I think, St. Francis in Assisi.
St. Francis, yes, exactly.
To teach the story of Jesus, yeah.
Sì, in fact, now two the best presepe are always made by St. Francis monks. St. Francis monks, they are all the best presepe, yes. Okay. Very, very nice, very beautiful.
Because that's a big deal in Rome. I mean, every church has a manger scene, and people go.
But like also in private home, normally it's more important to have a presepe than the Christmas tree in Italy.
In our family, we have, in our presepe, we have the Holy Family. And the baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, and then we have the three wise men and cows and sheep and angels. Do you have anybody else? Is it the same population?
In Italy, per esempio, it's incredible. I mean, you can have a simple presepe like yours, then they add characters, maybe a fisherman, maybe someone who is carrying something like mushrooms or a hunter. So people are always thinking about to add more and more characters. For example, in Napoli, there is a street, San Gregorio Armeno, which is famous for handcrafters. They work all year for new characters to add to presepe. And it's a street where small statue of presepe are also expensive because are very nice. Mm-hmm. And every year during this time, it's nice to see, for example, the news or go there and buy new characters. Sort of like your Time magazine, when you see at the beginning of the year, the man of the year in Italy, instead of Time magazine, you go to San Gregorio Armeno and you have the small statue of the year. You have the person, for example, you can have, maybe this year you can have the United States President, Berlusconi, or some other people, and they and in Napoli they really add them to the presepe. It's incredible, but
wow! So George Bush,
incredible.
Right there.
You can have a soccer player. It's strange. This is a bit too much, but really, presepe, it's something incredible.
Hey, Matteo, when you have children and you have the grandparents of the mother, or the parents of the mother and the parents of the father, different families, how do you know where to go when? How do you sort that out?
This is a big problem. I think it's the same problem in the United States and all over the world, but in Italy could cause big tragedies. I mean, normally when we speak in the afternoon with all the other friends, on ten people, five had a bad day because they fight all day.
The family competition at Christmas. What is the biggest event, the dinner on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
No, normally in Italy the biggest competition is for Christmas lunch.
Christmas
the
lunch.
The lunch on Christmas Day, on the 25th of December for lunch.
Hey, Matteo, what are you thankful for this Christmas and what are your wishes for the new year in Italy?
The wishes are only one, not only for Italy. Peace for everybody. And I hope for Italy we are having a bad economy. It's a bit difficult for many families. Here in Cinque Terre we are happy and rich thanks also to many tourists, to many Americans, Australians. They come and they make us rich, but we cannot forget many people living a few kilometers from here. They have many problems because Europe brought more and more poor people. So I hope for Italy that something will change very soon and everybody could be a little bit more rich.
Thank you, Matteo. And just for so we can hear your beautiful language, can you wish all of your friends in the United States a Merry Christmas and a peaceful New Year? Can I hear you say that in Italian?
Yes. Allora, volevo augurare a tutti voi un felice Natale e un bellissimo anno nuovo pieno di pace. Tanti auguri a tutti. Buon Natale.
Buon Natale. Matteo, thank you very much and Buon Natale to you too.
Thank you, Rick. Buon Natale to you and to all your family. Ciao.